Chapter 9. Death of a Queen. In 1600, Elizabeth was 67 years old. She still enjoyed walking outdoors, and she rode her favorite horses, Graypool and Black Wilford, almost every day. At parties, she made a point of dancing so that members of the court would see that their queen was still lively and energetic. Often, the queen tired out many young partygoers. Elizabeth had ruled for 41 years. However, the last years of her rule were difficult ones for the country and its queen. For a long time, the yearly harvest had been poor. Famine was killing off people. Those who survived were hungry and angry. The poor left the countryside and crowded the streets of London. There was unrest. Could it lead to rebellion? The question of who would rule after Elizabeth became ever more urgent. But the Queen put off choosing anyone. It meant thinking about her own death. Even worse, it meant thinking of someone else ruling her country. No one else could love her people as she had. But the heaviest blow of all was personal. Someone Elizabeth loved had betrayed her. After Robert Dudley, Sweet Robin, died, Elizabeth became close to his adopted son, the Earl of Essex. She put him in charge of her horses. The Earl of Essex soon became a favorite of the Queen. Essex was charming and handsome, but he was also greedy. He wanted to run the wine trade. When Elizabeth said no, he insulted her in front of the Privy Council. The friendship was shattered. For weeks, Essex wrote to the Queen, begging forgiveness. In one letter, he said that until he saw her again, time itself is a perpetual night. Elizabeth, however, would not forgive him. Once out of favor, Essex was ruined. He owed people money, a lot of money, and now he had no way to pay off his debts. Pressure on him was mounting. People said he began acting like a crazy person. Foolishly, he began insulting the Queen again. Essex convinced himself Elizabeth was not ruling wisely, that she was leading England into danger. In time, Essex began to believe that he should rule instead of Elizabeth. With a group of supporters, Essex hatched an outrageous plot. His men would break into the castle where Elizabeth was staying and make her call a meeting with Parliament. She would be forced to name Essex Lord Protector. As Lord Protector, he would be in charge, not Elizabeth. Essex managed to assemble 200 soldiers, but he wanted the people of London to support the rebellion. He stormed through London's taverns, his sword raised high, yelling and trying to rally support for his cause. Essex badly misjudged Londoners. They would not join his rebellion. They were loyal to their queen. William Cecil's spies had gotten advance word of the plot. The Queen's men were ready for Essex and his band of rebels as they approached the castle. Essex fled, but was soon arrested and found guilty of high treason. The court sentenced him to death. The Queen had no second thoughts about signing the death warrant. The death warrant can still be seen today on display in the British Library. In February 1601, Essex was beheaded. Despite his treachery, Elizabeth mourned the Earl of Essex. For the rest of her life, she wore a ring he had given her. For months after his death, she remained depressed. She would stay in her bedroom. It was hard for her to focus. She grew weaker. Her zest for life was gone. In September, the Queen turned 69, and now she seemed her age. She no longer enjoyed dancing. Her eyesight was failing. Letters had to be read to her. In November 1601, the Queen gave her final speech to Parliament. Her robes seemed to weigh her down, and she had to struggle to sit tall. But when the queen spoke, she was as majestic and regal as ever. She declared her love to the English people, saying that their loyalty meant more than the most expensive jewels. She said, "You may have many a wiser prince sitting in this seat, but you never have had, or shall have, anyone who loves you better." Before she took her leave, trumpets sounded, and the queen allowed all 150 members to kiss her hand. After that, Elizabeth grew steadily weaker. She needed a cane to walk up and down the stairs. Once, before a meeting, she almost collapsed under the weight of her heavy robes. In 1602, the English fleet captured a Portuguese ship and brought treasure back to their queen. But Elizabeth was not as excited at the news of riches as she once might have been. Now, it was almost impossible to please the queen. Her beloved Robin had died, and the Earl of Essex had betrayed her. Even her right-hand man, William Cecil, had passed away. The queen felt alone and was full of despair. In March of 1603, the queen retired to her private rooms. For days, she paced about nervously. She would not sleep. She did not eat. For 2 days straight, she stood and stared out her bedroom window without once sitting down. She could not speak because of pain in her throat. A doctor who examined her found her throat filled with sores. Finally, she lay down in bed. Clearly, the end was near. Now she had to face the question that she had dodged for so long. Who would rule after her? Although unable to speak, Elizabeth let her advisers know her choice. It was James VI, King of Scotland, and the son of her old enemy, Mary Stuart. On March 24th, in the early morning hours, the Queen died. People were stunned as news spread of the Queen's death. Many had never lived under any other ruler. James, the new king, paid for an elaborate and expensive funeral. Drawn by a team of horses in black, Elizabeth's coffin was draped in purple velvet. Purple is the color for royalty. Over 1,000 of the queen's subjects, from maids to noblemen, followed behind. Queen Elizabeth was laid to rest in Westminster Abbey. And who was she placed right next to in the cathedral? Her half-sister Mary, who had put Elizabeth in prison so many years ago. The young girl who had been shunned by her father had grown to become one of England's greatest rulers. She had lived in a world where men were thought to be smarter, wiser, and better in all ways than women. She had led the English navy to victory and encouraged the growth of literature and the arts. And in the end, she had left her people with a